The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, the sports daily NFL podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host. We are here to recap the Monday night game, the end, the nightcap of Super Wild Card Weekend. Joining me.
Wasn't so super.
It was if you were me, 4-2 against the spread.
Wasn't very wild either.
Okay.
Not even the weekend.
But there were a lot of cards. I was playing cards during the Cardinals-Rams game because it was so boring.
You got a taste of the cards you were playing.
My dog is being wilder than this weekend was. But that's okay. We will be recapping all the games. Of course, joining me, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
Sweet mercy. I tell you what, the only upside to that game I just had to endure is that now the Steelers didn't have the worst super wild card weekend.
Wow. That's pretty strong.
Well, they already weren't at the bottom of the list going into tonight because the Patriots were. Yeah. And now we could have a separate podcast where we just debate who had the worst loss out of the Patriots and the Cardinals.
I think the Eagles had a worse loss than the Steelers.
A 12.5-point underdog losing by 21 isn't a shock. A 3-point underdog losing by 23 is
in a game shock. Where Odell Beckham had more passing yards than Kyler Murray for 2/3 of the game.
I guess that's fine. I guess it depends on what your expectations were too.
Would you rather have a quarterback right now for the Cardinals, Odell or Kyler?
Would you rather streak?
He's feeling himself. Just give him a week.
Wait till the Bengals playoff run is over.
Yeah.
Wilson, now you have to answer all my would you rather questions.
So what was it? Would I rather have?
You know what? Let me start off here by saying congratulations to Matthew Stafford for getting his first playoff win. I've been dunked on so many times with the Andy Dalton stuff that it's nice that Stafford is not going to enter Andy Dalton territory. Had he lost to the Cardinals, he would have tied Dalton's record for the most playoff starts without a win. Instead, he does not tie that record. So that is a big monkey to get off the back by picking up that first win. And this game was just never close. So, Stafford didn't make any dumb mistakes. He looked pretty solid. Well,
he didn't have an opportunity to. I mean, Kyler Murray was too busy throwing pick sixes while he was throwing down, trying to not take a safety. Peyton Manning did actually mention on the old Manning cast. I actually watched it for most of this game because this game had zero interest after about the first 5 minutes. That once you do win that playoff game, watch out. He was speaking from experience, of course, but he portends good things for Will Brinson's sort of favorite player for the time being.
Kyler Murray, JK,
Matthew, your Hall of Fame best friend.
He's 3 wins away from the Hall of Fame. I'll tell you that much.
Any 3 wins?
If he wins the Super Bowl this year, he'll get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I thought you meant if he won his week 2 games the next 3 years, he would be definitely a Hall of Famer.
I mean, don't you agree with that?
He's also undefeated in the playoffs since his wife told a story about the time they ran into Leonardo DiCaprio in the Bahamas.
Well, if it isn't passive-aggressive breach showing up, because now it's just Andy Dalton and Y.A. Tittle.
How's that passive-aggressive breach? I'm complimenting the man.
You're so mad that Stafford.
Hey, Wilson, literally as soon as Brinson got up, so I didn't want him to hear it, but what were my first words when Brinson got up?
Congratulations to Matthew Stafford. He avoided breaking or tying Andy Dalton's record.
Thank you.
I thought it was I would say if I were ranking the worst playoff losses.
Well, that's different than like blowout.
I was saying the worst losses of the weekend. Oh, that's true. I would actually say the Cowboys are 1.
Yes, by a million billion light years.
By a pretty big margin. I think the Steelers are really low because the expectations were low.
As Breach noted, it was a 12-point spread going into that game.
Cardinals might be 2.
Who else would be 2?
Patriots.
No, Patriots. Again, I think the Bills are red hot. And that was the Patriots' defense not that, and Mac Jones played okay. Like, he wasn't the issue. It was the defense that was supposed to be really good. And I suppose you could say, well, the defense didn't show up, Bill Belichick, blah, blah, blah. If the offense had done that, like if Mac Jones had four interceptions and two pick sixes, then I think I could get on board with that.
But the defense is Belichick's bread and butter. I mean,
I get that, but my point is that the offense is more important than the defense, generally speaking, in today's NFL. And if it had been the rookie quarterback who struggled.
And you're also going by the Cardinals obviously had way higher expectations. They were the last undefeated team in the NFL this year, and they're out because they got hammered in the first round.
And
people in chat are saying no on Matthew Stafford in the Hall of Fame, and I know Wilson.
Yeah, you get.
If he wins a Super Bowl,
I heard you.
He will be a Hall of Famer. No, that is cold lock.
You and Breach are willing to put everyone to the Hall of Fame. I will.
What are you talking about? Brinson has been on the Stafford Hall of Fame bandwagon since 2015. I have not been on.
You're right about
Stafford
that. But generally, when we talk about the Hall of Fame, like in the next month or so, and the upcoming class, you are typically more liberal.
Well,
than
then
I
you need to put a qualifier in there that says Brinson is putting everyone in. I'm putting like 90% people.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
That's
I mean, how many more years does Matthew? Hypothetically, he wins.
He just won his first playoff game. My man here wants to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Not everybody can get drafted by the Steelers and fall back assward into free wins, despite the fact that you don't do anything as a rookie quarterback.
All right, would you rather for you? Would you rather Phillip Rivers get in or Matthew Stafford?
Only one. Both getting in. I'll take both. Give me both.
That, to my point, 100% acceptance rate, just like Brinson's college experience. Apply, you get in. NC State. UNC.
Anyway, look, they have to win the three games. Three games is a lot of games. You got to beat Tom Brady, have to beat the Niners, who they haven't done a great job of beating, or the Packers, and then have to beat probably Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or Joe Burrow.
Okay, back to the list. So, the Cowboys
Cowboys are the worst loss by far.
Arizona is second.
Yep.
And then I think it's the Patriots and then the Steelers. And then the Raiders had no expectations. Is there another game I'm missing? Oh, the Eagles. So Eagles and then Raiders. I think the Raiders are last in terms of surprise. And
I would say the Raiders are a little bit higher because it ended up Mike Mayock got fired on Monday.
Well, it sounds like he was getting
fired. That means
he
was getting fired anyway. Right. Yeah, that was the playoffs delayed it.
They lost by 7 points on the road against a red hot Bengals team.
I'm just saying if they win the game, Rich Bisaccia is
he's
probably
getting fired.
He's probably getting the job.
Mike Mayock's getting fired a week
later. Wilson's saying that the Raiders had the best loss in terms of you can hold your head high.
You know, they gave the Bengals their first playoff win in 31 years. I mean, it's not a great win.
Brinson's got some weird flexes tonight. Matthew Stafford, surefire Hall of Famer. Raiders' worst loss.
The Raiders were the second biggest underdog and
lost by seven.
They played a close game that was suspenseful and actually had drama, unlike four of the other games.
Yeah, I think you measured it this way. Breach, were you nervous? How long into the game were you nervous? When could you take a side?
I was nervous until there were 12 seconds left and Derek Carr threw an interception.
Knees being taken. until the interception, yeah.
Right. So there you go. So that was the least.
The Patriots loss was humiliating. Yeah. The Eagles loss is like demoralizing because you're like, oh.
I just think it's Jalen's first time, Nick Sirianni's first time. You went up against Tom Brady, who since being in Tampa Bay has scored 30 points in every playoff game. And, you know, they got off to a slow start and they couldn't recover.
So the first time quarterbacks in wild card weekend, Kyler Murray, first time making their first playoff start. Kyler Murray, Ben Roethlisberger, just kidding.
Last playoff start should count as well.
Jimmy and Dak both had one. Jalen Hurts lost. Kyler lost.
Joe won.
And Joe beat Derek Carr, who's also making
Derek
his first
lost.
Start.
Mac lost. Did you say Mac?
Yeah. Mac lost. Yeah, sorry. I think two good and by the way, all of those guys, those first time guys, didn't cover either. 0-4 against the spread. Well, I guess technically,
Raiders was 5.5.
Well, the Bengals covered, so that's a wash.
Yeah,
but someone had to cover there. So
that's what I'm saying. They 1-1 there, and then 2-1 with Mac, 3-1 with Hurts, 4-1 with Kyler. So that's something to think about moving forward. And Kyler Murray's, I mean, they're owned by the Rams. I couldn't believe how many people were on the Cardinals tonight. I love the Rams.
I had the Cardinals covering.
I would say too that
blinded McCliff's handsomeness.
The other stat that came out of this weekend, and we talked about it last night, that I think is important to remember is double digit favorites in wild card weekend are now 7-0 against the spread, and obviously straight up. So rookie quarterback, first time playoff quarterbacks and double-digit favorites. Those are some trends that are emerging that actually make sense when you think about the context of it. Like,
by the way,
Kyler was not prepared to play this game.
Well, I mean, that's...
Well, the pressure's jacked up, and to Brinson's point, this is actually in my picks article where it said to pick against every first-time starter. The first-time quarterbacks who are making their first career playoff start in the wild card round are now 12-35 since divisional realignment in 2002. It's only the wild card round.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Kyler was unprepared. It's just...
I mean, they were...
Did you see his pick six? Should we just cover this game? Should we just go and
yeah, let's just talk about the game real quick. I mean, the Rams came out. I thought it was very similar personally to, and I mean, I was, maybe it's just my emotion, like my feelings about it. Like, yes, but I thought the Rams came out in a similar fashion to the 49ers yesterday, where it was very clear early on who was the team, if they didn't make a bunch of mistakes, that was going to win. Like, didn't you know after that first, like, two or three drives that the Rams were the better team today?
The first drive.
First drive, sure. I mean,
pretty clear.
LA just looked more jacked up. They were coming in. The defense was flying. Kyler looked like the lights were a little too bright, which is really surprising. And Stafford was fairly calm.
Yeah, the running game was working. Cam Akers is a fantastic story coming back from the Achilles. They were leaning on him early. And the first four drives for the Cardinals was 4 yards, minus 1 yards, minus 11 yards, minus 1 yards, four punts, obviously. And then the next three drives were pick, pick, punt. I mean, come on. And then you're not even to halftime yet. They didn't go for it on the final drive in half before the half, and they were getting the ball back, and they could have turned a 21, I think it was 21-0 lead. Conceivably, they could have scored a touchdown and perhaps kicked a field goal in that final drive. Coming back after the half, got 11 points or something like that and cut the lead.
Punt, 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 interception, interception, punt, end of half.
Game over.
That is tough.
And one of those interceptions.
Field goal, downs, end of game. I mean, I know you're down 23 points and you're not going to win, but they gave up.
Yeah, no, they did. That's right. One, as John noted, one of them was a pick six. The other one was a ball tipped and caught in the red zone or inside the red zone by the time that the Rams player was tackled. Yeah, Kyler looked unprepared. I would imagine he prepared, but maybe he would say it. It's just who gives a crap? It's mincing words at that point. Cliff Kingsbury looked unprepared. And the funny thing is, both those guys are presumably looking for new contracts. And is Cliff Kingsbury going to get fired?
No. What? No. No.
What if he.
No. No. No.
What
new, 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 new.
I mean, look at the second half under Cliff Kingsbury. Let me see if I still have these. Yeah, I do.
They went to the playoffs in year three with Kyler. Hopkins got hurt. No, 0.0% chance. Cliff, Kyler, and Steve Keim are tied together, and they just had a really good season that exceeded expectations. Well,
they didn't have a really good season.
Look at those records after week eight. I mean, you can't collapse every single season and expect to keep your job. Like, maybe
you're gonna fire somebody for
golf. I don't agree with Ryan. I do not think
I'm just asking you the question. Do
not fire him after the season, but he is on the hot seat going into next year, because if there's another collapse, then you got to think about firing him.
It is weird that you think that you can just collapse over the second half of the season every single year and like, you got us to the playoffs, it's fine, and got your doors blown off.
For instance, you would be the GM of the Bengals, where you're just losing in the wild card round every year, and you'd be happy with it.
They hadn't been to the playoffs in a hot minute, guys. It was Carson Palmer who took him last, right?
In 2015.
But they hadn't been to the playoffs in 2015.
Well, how do you explain going 15-15-1?
Cliff Kingsbury's getting fired. What are you talking about?
I'm asking a question.
11-6. That is the dumbest thing I've heard of this podcast so far. And I said Matthew Stafford's going to the Hall of Fame.
I asked the question, number one. And number two, the question you have yet to answer, how do you explain going 15-5-1 over the first 8 weeks of the season, and then just forgetting how to play coach football over the final 8 weeks, go 9-20, and you're like, well, he's definitely coming back. I mean, he's doing a great job.
It is definitely a problem to go 9-20 after week 7 of the season. That's weird, and I don't really understand it.
My point is this:
Kyler got hurt both.
Have you ever heard of this guy that got fired for going 9-7 in back to back years?
Dude, you're not going to the playoffs. Coach who went 11-6.
Stranger things have happened is my point.
Marty Schottenheimer got fired for going 14-2. Didn't hear he complained about that. Where was the podcast then, Brinson? Why weren't we defending him?
He was too busy hugging Philip Rivers.
Well, look, here's the fact of the matter is that he's 24-24-1. He's exactly 500. If you throw in the playoff game, then he has a losing record in his three seasons. And like I said, I don't think that he deserves to be fired. That's crazy Wilson talking. But
that's the question that I asked.
But Wilson, I do agree with, I think, where your point was going to be, and is that, yes, I don't see how Brinson doesn't understand this, that he should be on the hot seat going into next year. If the Cardinals start 7-1 next year and again fade down the stretch and go 9-8 or 10-7 and lose in the first round of the playoffs again, you got to start asking questions. Or if they fade and don't make the playoffs, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, and we've seen the research on this. This isn't just the Arizona Cardinals. Every team Cliff Kingsbury has ever coached has faded in the second half in almost every season that he has been a coach at the professional level or the college level. So yes, he should be on the hot seat going into 2022.
That is asinine.
Well,
he should be in the hot seat. He went 11-6.
He went 9-20 over the second half of the 3 years he's been.
Dude, there. If you go 11-6 in the best division in football, you're and not then, on the then,
11-6 is not something to brag about when you started 7-0. He started 7-0. He went 4-6.
Colt McCoy.
This dude's been watching too many NC State basketball games.
Final 10 games. He had
three of those games where they went 4-7 were with Colt McCoy.
Brinson. Hey, listen, if you love mediocrity or something less than that, then Cliff Kingsbury is your guy.
Every team should hope they go 11-6 for the rest of time. What are you talking about? How about 11 wins is great.
How about 9-20?
What are you guys talking about?
It's hard for me to understand that you don't get the 9-20 part and then getting your doors blown off in your first playoff appearance.
I mean, you lost your first playoff game. That's tough.
You didn't lose it. You got absolutely demoralized.
You want to fire somebody who just took the team?
I didn't know. I asked the question.
Hot seat going to 2022.
No, I wholeheartedly disagree.
All right.
Not even close to the hot seat.
We can revisit this one.
Yeah.
I would bet that there's a better chance of
your hair plugs falling out.
I don't know. It's cold up here. Cliff Kingsbury getting an extension this offseason than there is of him being on Breach's little hot seat list.
Well, you can include me on that hot seat list because I'm with it. And Debo, please make a note when we have to do the emergency pod in late September next year because Cliff Kingsbury got fired. Please save this so we can run this. This will be the show.
Well, he's not getting fired in September. He goes 4-0 in September.
He'll when they come out with first head coach fired odds, he'll be in the top five next year.
Yes.
I don't think so.
He stinks.
I'm not saying he doesn't stink. I'm just telling you.
You just said he doesn't stink.
All right, let me ask you this, Brinson. Where does he rank on your list of best coaches in the NFC West?
Oh, boy. E-boy.
Well, I mean, they're all just.
E-boy.
I need a ranking. Give me a ranking.
No, Philip.
They're all just genealogical spinoffs of Pete Carroll. Like smart.
Rank them.
Smart coaches who just won't go for it.
Rank them.
He's deflecting.
Yeah, he's
sidestepping questions.
Cliff's probably four.
He's Philip Brinsoning. Just made that up. I like
so
that.
Do you keep if you have the worst if you have the worst coach in the division, are you going to keep him if he struggles in 2022? Or are you going to try and replace him with someone who's not the worst coach in the division?
He had a better record than the Bengals this year, and you're trying to give your coach of the year.
Yeah, and you know what? The Bengals are in the divisional round, Brinson.
I know.
Cliff Kingsbury isn't.
Because they played the Raiders. With an interim coach and no Henry Ruggs. They just played the Rams with Hall of Famer Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay.
There are eight teams left. The Cardinals were the final undefeated team. They were not one of the final eight teams. The Bengals had one of the worst records in football last year and are one of the final eight teams.
By the way, Breach, that Brinson dunk right there, that's like they call a TV timeout. Brinson takes the chair, puts it underneath the goal, and runs up and dunks on it while no one's watching.
Philip Brinson definitely has like a pH on it for rivers and fish.
That's my best work.
I might, Ethan Miller came up with that in the chat. I might hit that little thing over the screen. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button. Look, you cannot, no one who goes, I can't believe Debo agrees with this. No one who goes 11-6.
Debo was ready to move from Sirianni in the first half of the season because he didn't like what he was seeing.
No one who goes 11-6 is on the hot seat the next year. Going into the year.
Okay.
Except Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy went 12-5.
I mean, what are we talking about? We literally had this conversation 24 hours ago.
No.
You know what it is? You are blinded by the handsomeness. If Mike McCarthy looked like Cliff Kingsbury, he would have a lifetime contract.
Blinded by the light.
You guys are ignoring the dynamics of the organization and how these things have come together.
No, we're just talking about in general terms.
What are the dynamics, Brenton? They fired Steve Wilkes after 1 year.
And then they drafted Kyler Murray specifically because of Cliff Kingsbury, who came in to coach Kyler Murray.
He does not have a winning record in the NFL.
Midway through the season, they went 11-6. They made the playoffs. He got hurt. They still went 1-2 with Colt McCoy at the quarterback position. Kime, Bidwell, and Cliff Kingsbury are on the same page. He's not going anywhere, man.
If I'm making my first head coach fired odds for next year, Matt Rhule, Mike McCarthy, Cliff Kingsbury, number three.
There you go. There you go.
I agree to disagree.
Yeah, Flores O plus notes in the comments.
Oh, let's
see
what Cliff Kingsbury's excuse was for loss.
Quickly. O plus notes in the comments. Flores was fired after winning 7 straight games. So, you know, stranger things have happened. What do you got, Breach?
Kingsbury said maybe the guys weren't used to playoff football.
That's a great excuse for a coach that's going to take you to.
Oh, and you know what the irony here is? You know what team in the playoffs had the least amount of playoff experience? The Bengals.
There it is.
They've managed to win a game with no playoff experience. Cliff Kingsbury couldn't do it.
Oh, Brenton, Northern Grower asked in the comments, how long are you willing to give Cliff Kingsbury to be average next year? No, I'm like, what's the record?
I don't even like Cliff Kingsbury. That's the problem. No. Like, I think he annoys me. Like,
eight games into the season, what can't their record be 8 games into the season? What's their best worst record?
Maybe they were 7-0 this year.
I'm asking about next year.
All right, what if they go 7-10 next year?
Then he would be on the hot seat for 2023.
This guy is crazy.
He's not getting fired if he goes 7-10.
Can you imagine?
What causes them to go 7-10? Is there a Kyler injury?
The coach. No.
The coach. Yeah.
So everyone's healthy and they just crap the bed and go 7-10.
They're in a tough division. You said it. They're in the toughest division in football. So that's why they go 7-10. They go 1-5 in the division and they go 6-5 against everyone else.
My wife is harassing me. My dog is harassing me. You two are harassing me.
You're on the wrong side of a lot of arguments.
Oh, man.
I'm in a corner and I'm lashing, baby.
All right. Let's go.
I mean, the pairing of Kingsbury and Kyler Murray is a main tent pole of his tenure in Arizona. How do you feel about where Murray's at after 3 years?
Well, once again, he started off red hot, MVP conversation, 7-0, and he couldn't do anything wrong. He got hurt
again.
Well, yeah. Okay. No one's disagreeing. You're lashing out.
I literally just said I'm lashing out. I just told you.
This is Brinson in therapy, not taking a deep breath. Breach. That's what's going on.
Well, and Brinson, you went through their whole entire first half. You know, you start the game with 4-3 and outs, and you think things can't get worse. You followed up with 2 interceptions, another 3 and out, and you're only successful.
That playoff game was Andy Dalton Bengals bad crap pantsing.
That was worse than that. I watched Andy Dalton start 4 games. It was never this bad.
That's true. Usually J.J. Watt is on the winning end against when Andy Dalton's. Ah.
There's another TV timeout dunk.
A.J. Green. A.J. Green isn't.
Okay, yeah, so we get it.
A.J. Green and J.J. Watt both lost in the playoffs again.
Poor A.J. Green.
A.J. Green dropped that ball. That was a problem. So let's talk about the Rams. Let's talk about – well, let Brinson Peacock about Matthew Stafford.
Like I was saying, look, dude – don't get me wrong. I mean, Raheem Morris, okay, couple of things. I thought Matthew Stafford came out playing really well. He only threw 17 passes for 202 yards.
That's the blueprint.
Yeah, I mean, this is a blueprint for every quarterback.
Yeah,
you want to put up 30-plus points and have your quarterback throw less than 20 passes and a couple of touchdowns. I thought that this is going to fly in the face of me saying Cliff Kingsbury won't get fired, but Cliff, the Rams coaches out-coached the Cardinals coaches very badly. Joseph, and it was pointed out.
Cliff Kingsbury does not want to get fired. He understands exactly what you just said as well. So that's not.
I think it was the Manning cast. They were pointing out that most of the Cardinals blitzes are pass-specific blitzes designed to get to Matthew Stafford, and the best way to counter them is to run against them. And the Rams did that early. Cam Akers, man, this is what a story he is. He blew out his Achilles in the off, like in training camp.
5.5, 6 months ago.
You should not be playing football in the playoffs if you blew out your Achilles in the preseason or the or training camp. That is insane. Like, Achilles can be a career ending injury for a running back. You know, it's the new ACL or whatever. Akers ran well. Sony Michel was fine. Odell Beckham looked as twitchy as he's looked since he was with the Giants. This is the best game he's had, just from a not only production standpoint, when he finished with 4 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown. But again, Matthew Stafford didn't
throw. And he threw a 40-yard pass.
But when he caught the ball, he was looking, because like OBJ always does this thing when he's like in his peak in New York. He would catch the ball. He'd be like, man, he's as tall as a Smurf. And then all of a sudden he would just explode. He's a lot like Ja'Marr Chase. Cooper Kupp was fine. He did what he needed to do. Had one bad drop. Tyler Higbee played well. I think this Rams team can win it all, honestly.
Well, we'll see. That was one game against a team that didn't show up, against your Hall of Fame coach. So we'll see.
Von Miller was great. Aaron Donald was great.
Yeah, everyone was fantastic. Cooper Kupp dropped one pass, then the rest of the game, he was Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, that's Higbee dropped a pass.
You know what's funny about you saying they dropped passes? That Matt Stafford literally only threw 4 incompletions. So, and 2 of those were bad drops. So,
yeah,
his numbers could have been even better. And you can't do much better than a 154.5 QB rating, which is what he had.
And this is their best game of the season by what feels like miles.
Well, I would actually argue their best game of the season was the game against the Bucks when they beat him in LA in the regular season. And I mean, McVay was losing his mind after the game, going nuts. Look,
you know how big it was.
What's that?
The funny thing is, Brinson, you saying that the Rams look like they're playing one off to win the Super Bowl is that I agree with you. I'm getting on the Stafford bandwagon. This is a team. I feel like the Buccaneers are the best possible matchup for them in the next round.
Why do you think that?
Well, first of all, their offensive linemen are injured, and you have Von Miller and Aaron Donald teeing off against some backup linemen. We don't know if Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen are going to play. The Buccaneers' bread and butter is stopping the run, and the Rams don't have to run the win. They can just have Matthew Stafford throw it 40 times if they have to, and the Buccaneers' secondary.
But that's not how they win. They don't win with Matthew Stafford throwing the ball 40. He just established.
I'm saying that. They can. They can if they have to.
I don't think so, though. The course of the season played out in such a way where Matthew Stafford made a ton of mistakes when he had to wing it around a lot.
Right. If he's not getting pressured, he did fine.
You realize Todd Bowles is still the defensive coordinator in Tampa Bay, right?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Dude, God, do you really hate Matthew Stafford?
We just laid out the situation, the scenario where it makes sense for him to run the ball. And then Breach is like, oh, no, he can just wing it 40 times a game against Todd Bowles' defense because they have a couple guys hurt on the Bucs' offensive line. I'm just saying, I don't know if I would think about doing that.
I don't. Again, if you're throwing it 40 times in the playoffs, it's a bad sign for you as a quarterback and your team, because that means you are probably losing, right? I mean, like, that's Kyler Murray, 19 of 34, Matthew Stafford, 13 of 17. You can look at that. You can, if you tell anybody those two number or those two completion percentages, they're going to assume that the Rams absolutely rolled the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at New England Buffalo. Josh Allen, 21 of 25, Mac Jones, 24 of 38. You can guess the score in that one.
Yeah, I don't know if Mac Jones had thrown more passes at all during the season either.
If I told you Jalen Hurts threw 43 passes, what do you think happened in Tampa Bay?
Tom Brady throws a lot all the time, so he had to throw probably 40 passes.
Right.
Brady's the exception to the rule because they have to throw.
I'm just saying that you can.
I know what you're trying to do.
Mahomes threw 39 times, but he's 30 of 39. I mean, in general, you can. If somebody's. Remember the game against Green Bay in 2019 with San Francisco where Jimmy G was like 6 of 8 for 77 yards. Like, you could, if he's the only quarterback who threw a pass and he went 6 of 8 for 77 yards, you can discern fairly well that they blew the other team out.
What about,
And I'm not saying Matthew Stafford is going to throw the ball 45 times. I'm saying that the Rams don't have to run it. The Eagles went into that game planning, hey, let's run on this team. And when that didn't work because the Buccaneers are so good at stopping the run, they're like, oh crap, we're done because Jalen Hurts can't go back there and throw the ball because he's just not, you know, it's a first playoff start. You're nervous, too much going on. And their offense clearly wasn't going to work. And it was, you could tell within the first quarter that the Eagles weren't going to be able to move the ball and the Rams aren't going to have that problem.
Well, and we saw that tweet from a friend of the podcast, Justina Anderson. A Cardinals source told me before the game, their winning formula is to have 25 plus rushes from the running backs in a game and no turnovers in the matchup. They emphasized, quote, if we do that, the Rams have no chance, end quote. Oopsie.
Yep.
I mean, they had eight carries from Chase Edmonds for 28 yards, four from James Conner for 19 yards.
By the way, Matthew Stafford, 1-3 when he throws 40, at least 40 times this season.
Everyone has a bad record when they throw 40 plus times.
Well, I'm just refuting Breach's idiotic game plan.
What are you talking about? You're the one that said he would throw it 40 times. I never said that. I just said they can throw first instead of going to the if the run doesn't work. I didn't say he was going to wing it 45 times. Go back and listen to the tape, Wilson. I never mentioned him throwing it.
You went from 40 to 45. Interesting. Okay.
No, you did. You were the one that brought up the number 40 or 45 or whatever you brought up.
This is a great, Debo, great job putting this up on the screen. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button. This is what I was trying to push back on in a couple radio hits today or on Monday, is that people are like, oh, Stafford can't win a playoff game. It's like, he played for the Lions. Sort of the same thing as Dallas. Like, I mean, except the Bengals were actually good for a decent stretch. It's like, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
that looks a little different than the Bengals.
Stafford's basically, it was 1 year they had, oh my God, how am I forgetting his name? Old Debo, who's your old defensive coordinator from last year?
Jim Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz, thank you. They had Schwartz as the head coach and went to the playoffs and had Sue and Cliff Averill and who else do they have on that defensive line? There's somebody else that's really good.
I'm not up on my Detroit Lions recent history, I'll be honest.
But they went to the playoffs, but Stafford's gone three times. I mean, once he played a really good Cowboys team, once he played a Packers team, and once he played the Saints, I think. And, I mean, he basically dragged those teams to the playoffs, with the exception of that one Jim Schwartz team that had a good defense. Like, going 0-3 with the Lions is not the same as going 0-3. People are like, oh, it's only Y.A. Tittle and Andy Dalton. I mean, Y.A. Tittle lost three championship games, you know, and Andy Dalton had some pretty weird, bad circumstances that happened to him too, like the Vontaze Burfict Steelers game. Or that was a precarious.
That wasn't Andy Dalton, yeah.
Anyway, like, I get that the stats say what the stats say, but pointing to Stafford as the problem with the Lions, to me, was always the issue.
And he also, Stafford was an underdog of 6.5 points or more in those first three playoff games.
Who was pointing to Stafford as a problem in
everybody,
Detroit?
Everybody's like, oh, the pressure's on Stafford. He's in a group with Y.A. Tittle and Andy Dalton if he loses this game. It's like, well.
No, not during his Detroit days. That's what I thought.
I'm saying leading up to this game.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. I get it. I mean, you got to have stuff to talk about so people talk about things like that.
Did you guys watch the Manning cast during this game?
Yeah, I actually did, because this game felt like the least important game of the whole season. So I just listened to it because
the Rock was not very good.
Did you see who Russell Wilson picked in the Bengals Titans game?
I actually had turned it off by then because I wanted to get ready for the podcast and not be 10 minutes late.
Russell is the reverse Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz born in Raleigh. Russell born in Cincinnati.
So Russell was born in Cincinnati.
That's right, Breach.
Oh, I like the Rock. He paid $33 million for a T-Rex skull.
Understand the T-Rex? My God,
shot too, like pimping his tequila.
And the fact that he has it like in the background of his computer shot, like, hey, everybody, look at my 33. That's a flex. Like,
but it's not even in the background. It's like slightly in the background. He's like, oh, oops, did that $31 million T-Rex skull like end up in the shot?
I think one of the takeaways for me from watching that is how much square footage these people have. Like, you saw Peyton Manning eating his sandwich in between commercial breaks in his 40,000 square foot basement. Like, with
actually,
all his,
the Manning's homes were fairly modest.
Well, I think Peyton does his in a studio, like his buddy, and Eli is at his house. Okay. I read a story about that. So
I thought one of them is in a basement, one of them's in a apartment or a garage. So yeah, maybe it's Peyton's buddy. Built a studio. It's Omaha Productions built the studio above it, like a thing, and Peyton goes there because he lives in Denver, right?
Yeah,
and that's why they don't do it in person. Is Peyton ain't flying to freaking New Jersey? I guess he lives in New Jersey.
No idea. No idea where Eli lives. No,
who would be the most likely out of us three to have a T-Rex skull in the background? A $31 million T-Rex skull.
No, it's Breach. And Breach would be like, oh, look at this T-Rex skull I stole.
He put it on there behind us with the helmets on the shelf back there. Be a,
I think if you looked hard enough over Thanksgiving when Breach went on his, to the family's house, there was a T-Rex in that room that just went on for miles.
There's an 80% chance that's true.
What a weird like 24 hours that was for the podcast.
Breach, he did it from a funhouse mirror room.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about, I guess, the divisional round.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right. So, the officiating.
In this game?
Here's the problem.
It took too much time. I'm fine with that.
But they did the same damn thing we talked about with the Bengals and the Raiders game. They buzzed in.
Yeah, I know. They're
buzzing in randomly. Sean McVay had multiple challenges in the first half that he successfully challenged. It was the Stafford goal line play, and then what was the second one? I'm so worked up about it, I can't
remember. A pass. It was a pass.
Was ruled.
AJ Green fumble. He got hit.
Caught it, and it was his foot's clearly out of bounds. They said he caught it, and McVay's over on the sidelines like, I mean, I've been watching football all weekend. They keep buzzing in at random times and saying, hey, don't worry about that. We got this covered. We have 10 billion cameras in the stadium. We'll fix it for you. And they didn't do anything. So finally, he just dropped the challenge flag on there. He goes 2 for 2 again. And I don't want to harp on the issue, but it's a huge deal because it's going to affect games. Like, it might affect, I assume they'll fix it for the Super Bowl. They'll be aggressive with the Super Bowl. But these coaches cannot possibly know if someone's buzzing in from the New York office to tell them, hey guy, we're going to take a look at this. What is the function? What is the implementation of the replay assist? Someone from it's great. The NFL, how big is the NFL rule book, Breach?
Big.
It's like,
it take us a week to read the whole thing if we dictated it on the podcast.
And in the middle of a 2021 season, they decided to just suddenly implement replay assist and start changing some plays, but not other plays. It's crazy. I mean, it's, you don't know as a fan, as a media member, as a player, as a coach, as an analyst who's doing the TV game, whether the NFL is going to review a play that the Stafford sneak, they showed one overhead shot. You're like, he's in. The first shot from the sideline, you're like, he's in. Why would you call him short?
I understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with it. And every time you bring it up, I'm fine supporting that. Here's my thing. And after 45 minutes of commercial breaks to figure all this nonsense out, and Peyton was getting frustrated with it because he's an old person like me.
Sure.
Here's the thing. Let me have this job. I will do every game on Sundays at the same time. You show me the video. I will tell you in 5 seconds whether it's a catch, not a catch, in the bounds, out of bounds, touchdown, not touchdown. And we can get on with the thing, and the games will be over in 2 hours and 35 minutes. Because it's all this dragging it out.
I did Dave Dabrowski's pod on Monday, and he said the same thing. He's like, we need three people in a room. And I was like, well, let's add buttons. It's like, is it yes or no? And you just smash the button. And if three people smash it yes, we move
smash
on.
Smash the like button.
If it's smash the like button while you're, if you're watching it. I mean, to be clear, I am in favor of the, and Wilson is too, and I think Breach is too, in favor of the NFL, the league's officiating office stepping in and making these changes on the fly to correct obvious problems. But I do not like that they didn't announce that they were doing it, that they are randomly doing it during games and you don't know when they're going to do it. And you only find if you're backing it, like, and you can't get in bed with these sports books and go all in on gambling. And they'd be like, oh, by the way, we have a Wizard of Oz situation unfolding with our replay situation.
Unless you have some vested interest, Breach.
No, they're too incompetent to do that. Like,
that's
too,
the other thing. When people come up with conspiracy theories, you go, wait a second. The people doing the conspiracies are friggin' morons. They're not doing anything.
Yeah. Or just wait until the sports books start taking bets on how bad the officiating will be in games.
Yeah, I wonder if that would actually snap some action. Like,
I mean, these sports books have, so we have, like, the fastest feed we get is the NFL stats feed via, like, a media platform that they give us. It's still almost, because if somebody's somebody's watching the play and plugging it in manually.
And by the way, sorry to interrupt you, as Molly P notes in the comments, so they couldn't figure out the AJ Green thing on the field. That took 25 minutes. And then somebody, they had to challenge it because they couldn't.
Like, it was like the Bengals game. Zach Taylor doesn't. I was like, oh my God, Zach Taylor's not going to challenge us. The Bengals are going to lose this game because Zach Taylor doesn't know to challenge. And then Sean McVay standing there with his red flag in his hand, like, is somebody coming to the door to, like, is somebody going to help me out here? No? Okay, I guess I'll throw this on the ground. And if you're going to do it like this, you can't, because I mean, if McVay loses that challenge for whatever reason, he has no challenges left in the second half of a playoff game.
But that was one of those weird ones because, like Wilson said, they conferred. The officials actually had a conference about it and clearly got help from the eye in the sky and ruled it a completion.
He's like, "Cap in his ear."
I was actually surprised that McVay challenged it, knowing that they had already heard from the league office or something. That was a weird play. And those are the ones that are worst. We saw in an Eagles game in the regular season where you know, one thing's rolled in the field, then it gets overturned, then it gets re-overturned, and that's when things just look silly.
Well, I mean, this ref is, like, walking around the field, holding his ear, jamming this mic in his ear because he can't hear the voice that's telling him what to do. And then he looks at McVay, he's like, yeah, we're not talking to anybody up in the league office. It's like, I can hear Walt Anderson in your ear, man. What is happening?
And by the way, this isn't, and I don't think we're on this thing, but sometimes people are, this isn't a you have to hire the refs full-time conversation. No. It's you have to have the people that can see all these things doing this in a expedited manner, because I have all night, but I prefer not to spend all night watching a bunch of middle-aged men walk around in zebra suits.
What I would like is the NFL to, I mean, I guess I think I hate, like, over policying things, but there needs to be like Jerome Boger needs to pull up a green flag out of his pocket. And he's like, this is a replay assist. We are changing the call on the field situation. And then they show the replay. It's like, oh, that's right. They did a great job. Good work. But the problem is they are sometimes doing it, and then sometimes in obvious situations, not doing it. Back-to-back plays in the Raiders-Bengals game on catches that were just called completely wrong. And then on Monday night, the Stafford sneak, and then whatever the other, there was another catch where McVay had a challenge. Oh, it was the
AJ Green.
It was the AJ Green catch. Yeah. I mean,
which actually was incomplete.
Yeah. It was clearly incomplete.
Well, there was some gray area, but I would just like him to get it right either way the first time instead of wasting 20 minutes.
For sure. Which is, I'm saying, empower the NFL officiating office more, but tell everybody, hey, this call is coming down from New York. and we're changing the call in the field. They keep, they wave their hand. They're like, catch, catch, catch. And then like the guy's holding his ear and he's like, the ruling on the field is an incomplete pass.
Here's what they do in soccer. It's VAR, video assist review. The official on the field makes a signal when he gets a call. He runs over to the sidelines, looks at the thing, talks to people upstairs. Everyone knows what's going on. The scoreboard says VAR review. He comes back and says, penalty, no penalty, and we get on with it. It takes 35 seconds to 90 seconds, and it's done.
I mean, Wilson, I mean, I watched enough soccer to know that VAR is terrible for the most part. But I mean, this is how far behind the NFL is. We are advocating for VAR implementation.
Right.
NFL.
No, yeah. There's some problems with VAR for sure. Because, again, you're breaking down things frame by frame. But the NFL, it might even be a little different because they break down things frame by frame anyway, like in terms of where the ball is or whether he caught it. But it would be faster. That's at this point, that's all I want.
And look, soccer is weird because soccer is also different because you're trying to – I guess soccer is actually kind of close to football. You know, when you do the offsides, that's the most common VAR thing where
– Yeah, handballs, fouls,
of the box. Somebody is, and handballs and fouls. Yeah, you're trying to determine where somebody is when a pass is made.
Yeah.
But like football, you slow it down and you know – this is the problem. The referees are doing the work on the field in real time with no replays available to them. And we are all at home watching in 4K with 72 cameras, and we know exactly what is happening and what has happened on each play immediately after, because the replays, you're like, well, that's clearly not a catch. I mean, somebody said this today. I'm trying to think who said this. They need to match the technology to the process. It shouldn't be that hard.
Also, a lot of younger, the guys that referee and women that referee soccer games, younger, better shape. I mean, make it that what you will.
Yeah. Hire Matt Snyder.
yeah, that's right.
All right. So we know the, I guess we have divisional matchups here.
All right, Breach, give us the days and the matchups.
Guess who's kicking off the divisional round?
Better be the Bengals.
The Cincinnati Bengals in their famous 4:30 p.m. Eastern time time slot.
And under center, the Tennessee Titans, Jerome Boger.
No, that's not true.
They actually did announce the officiating crews today. I don't remember who the Bengals got.
Boger got kicked off.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's definitely not Boger.
I was saying he was playing quarterback for the Titans.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you the official increase here in a second. Yep, Bengals-Titans, 4:30 p.m. on CBS Saturday. Saturday night, 49ers at Packers, 8:15 on Fox. And that one could be about 15 degrees. We talked about that a little bit. The one we didn't know until the Monday night game was over is that the Rams are now headed to Tampa Bay, where they beat the Bucs earlier this year. They won in Tampa Bay last year. Ooh, and that game is at 3 p.m. on NBC because the schedule's switched up a little bit for the past 2 years. Those Sunday divisional games have been moved to the later times. And then Bills Chiefs Sunday night, 6:30 CBS.
I mean, I got to say, I know that the wild card round was not as desirable as people were hoping it would be with the super action and all these games over the course of 3 days. These are four really, really good divisional round games.
And if you need any convincing, just look at the spreads. They're all four and a half or less.
Five and a half or less. The Packers
are 5.5. I would guess that comes down a little bit more.
But the other three are under 3.5. So you have, I mean, they're all under 6, which is
San Francisco is higher in DVOA than Green Bay.
Well, and then real quick, I'll give you the officials. Cleet Blakeman's crew is on Bengals Titans. Ron Torbert on 49ers Packers, Sean Hockley on Rams Buccaneers, and John Hussey on Bills Chiefs.
Also, the other thing they do with these officials, which doesn't really make any sense, is these crews work the entire regular season together.
So dumb.
And then they split them up and put them with new people. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, because they have they individually grade each of the officials, and then they keep a couple of them together, and then they bring in a bunch of randos, and then, yeah. That's like basically playing a Pro Bowl game and being upset that you don't win, you know, you don't win the division. Yeah, you don't know each other. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's crazy. So Rams, man, I mean, I think, and I'm biased because I bet it, But if you were insane enough to bet 49ers Bengals Super Bowl matchup, you got the best possible draw you could ask for. Like, I don't want the Bengals playing the Bills or the Chiefs in. I don't want them to beat both of them because I don't think.
What are those odds?
85-1.
85?
Yeah.
And then what is like the extreme? Like, what's Packers Bills or Packers Chiefs or something? Like
7-1 or something.
Okay. Yeah. No,
85-1 is pretty deep.
That's not actually throwing away your money. Typically, I say you're just throwing away your $10 or whatever. 85-1 with those, that feels like you're actually getting some value.
Like, if the Bengals beat the Titans, and they might not, that line went from 2.5 to 3.5. Titans could totally win that game with the injured Larry Ogunjobi on IR on Monday. Derrick Henry back. Titans could easily roll in that game. But, I mean,
Breach will be there.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals won. I wouldn't be surprised if every single underdog in these four games won. Ooh, what does that parlay pay?
That would be an interesting one.
The Bengals, Bills, Rams, and 49ers winning is not crazy at all.
What about plus 300? Is that?
Oh, hell no. It's going to be like
lower?
25-1?
Really?
For all four underdogs winning?
But they're so close.
The last time that all four games in the divisional round had a point spread of under 7 points. So this is rare because the lowest point spread here is 5.5. So that's crazy. But the last time all four were just under 7 was 2003.
Wow.
And the favorite teams went 2-2 and two of the four games went to overtime.
How'd the underdogs do?
Stephen Brown is correct, by the way. 35-1.
Dang.
I bet that right now.
That was a joke, Breach.
Ha ha, I got it.
I was slightly off with a 3-1 there.
Yeah, just a touch off.
These teams are so tight, though. I feel like a bunch of just pick-ems.
That's what I'm saying. All four dogs winning probably going to happen. It's not that crazy.
All right, here we go. The last time it was this close point spreads was 1988. Which coincidentally was a divisional round that also included the Bills, the 49ers, the Bengals, and what the Titans were back in, then the Oilers. So we have four of the same eight teams.
You said the 49ers, right? Because they won the Super Bowl that year?
Yeah, they played the Bengals in the Super Bowl that year.
The Tim Crumry Super Bowl?
That was where he broke his leg.
Yeah.
O+ points out in the comments that the Niners and Bucks injuries might be an issue. You're not wrong.
Who's hurt on the Niners?
Well,
Fred Warner, Nick Bosa are dealing with.
He's going to play, and then Joe.
But he's got an ankle injury, and even if you're out there, it's a little rough. And Jimmy Garoppolo's got the shoulder sprain, plus the thumb injury, plus playing in 15 degrees. Your injuries don't feel good.
Well,
and I know everyone's talking about the Bills-Chiefs divisional round, but do not forget that the Titans-Bengals want to combine 3-0 this year against the Bills and Chiefs.
Okay, I won't forget that.
Don't forget.
Jimmy G played at Eastern. Wherever. Where'd he go? Eastern Illinois.
Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not an issue. And by the way, his shoulder hurting, maybe he's better than he would be throwing airmail on those passes, interceptions. I don't think that's an issue either. The other issue, the Bosa Warner thing are legit.
No, Bosa's concussion. So we'll see what happens with that. That's TBD.
And they play Saturday, which is definitely a negative because that's one less day to recover.
But Warner tweeted he's gonna be fine. Or indicated he would be fine.
Trying to manufacture storylines.
No, I'm saying it's an ankle injury. If he's not 100%, that's an issue. He can reach the field. No,
Breach MZ.
You're not tweeting that if you don't feel like you're going. But Bosa,
I think he is going to play. I'm saying if he's playing at 90% versus being 100%, that's a big difference, especially when you're going against the Packers offense.
Everyone's
TMB
right now.
20 mile breach.
I'm at like 75% right now.
On what? Pie?
Just feet, but my body's at 75%. I mean, NFL players are definitely not at 90%. No NFL players are at 90%. Everyone's at like 60%. And you just need 22 guys.
Brenton, we're not talking about your blood alcohol level. Is that really at 75%?
It's funny that the one guy who's the son of an NFL player is like,
if you're not at 99% going into the divisional round.
Well, this is the guy who got concussed while throwing a fake punt touchdown. That there are no records of, so he's fine.
I just bet that four dog parlay. Clarence G points out in the chat as well. Hit the like button if you're watching the chat. A 49ers Bengals Super Bowl is absolute worst case for this podcast and Ryan Wilson.
That's where we kick Wilson off the podcast. Because me and Brinson for two straight weeks.
Yeah, I bet the matchup. Breach has got the Bengals at the Super Bowl. I picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl before the season.
Well, but also, that being said, the 49ers are probably the last team that Bengals want to see, because it's like every time we get to the freaking Super Bowl, we're playing the 49ers. They've already played each other twice. I believe that would be the first time two teams have met three times in the Super Bowl. Yeah, so it would be not an ideal matchup, but you're in the Super Bowl, so who cares? Yeah.
I would say that's the
best, overshadows
the best possible matchup you can get out of the NFC. Okay, that's it for the recap of.
Hold on, I have something quick. Debo's not going to let me get out of this.
Oh, would you rather? Oh, that's right.
Are you a quick one? You ready?
Reach, ask your would you rather first.
I don't have one.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that one. Oh, I was like, what does he have? No, here we go. Here's
Ryan, do you have one lined up?
Yeah, I got it lined up. I'm ready to go. Okay. Would you rather drink a gallon of used hot dog water or a shot glass of someone else's foot sweat? Gallon of used hot dog water.
God.
A shot glass of someone else's foot sweat.
That's easy. I'm 100% drinking the hot dog water.
It's a
gallon of hot dog water.
Have you ever had hot dogs? They're delicious. And it's just like.
Oh, they're pretty. They're pretty good.
No, give me the foot sweat. It's a shot.
Oh, my God. What?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think.
Now, put this as a poll on your Twitter, Brinson. You're wrong. Nobody's drinking foot sweat except for Rex Ryan.
A gallon's a lot.
You can't drink it over the course of a weekend.
Is there a time limit?
Yeah, buddy.
Like 5 minutes or whatever. You can't be goofing around.
5 minutes. I can't drink a gallon of anything in 5 minutes. That's not fair.
My point is, you can't take 2 days to do it.
Oh, how about 2 hours?
It has to happen in 2 hours. Yes.
Right, I'd like to chime in real quick.
Yeah. What do you have, Debo? For 2 hours.
Just press the shot and get done with it.
Yeah, you're done. It's foot sweat. It's not.
This is as dumb as the one where we asked if you'd rather be in a shark tank or a tiger cage.
All right, this is the answer for the podcast. Hot dog water.
You guys were all wrong about that one, by the way.
Well, we had different answers, so I'm not sure how we're all.
Nah, I feel like you all agreed.
Well, wait, what's the first one you're talking? Personal
experience here. I lived.
Are you talking about the dog thing, or are you talking about the hot dog thing?
This is back to Wilson's comment right now.
Okay.
Foot sweat, hot dog water. I lived with someone.
Oh no!
Within the past few years.
Oh my God.
That would routinely drink hot dog water.
Ugh. Like you would boil them or something?
Boil the hot dogs.
Oh God.
Once a week.
What?
Would drink the water afterwards.
The twist here is that it's me.
Oh,
I mean, look, to be clear, everyone would rather drink hot dog water than foot sweat. But a gallon of hot dog water is a, I mean, I don't want to, I mean.
Seriously, put the poll on Twitter, Brinson. There's no way people are picking foot sweat.
LTP Sports asked in the comments. And Debo did not move out immediately.
No, I made them move.
Oh, there you go.
How many cups in a gallon?
I don't know. Google that. It'll tell you.
A lot.
Well, I've already Googled.
A gallon's 64 ounces? So 8 cups? Or is a gallon 128 ounces?
A shot glass is 2 ounces? What's a shot?
A shot is
an ounce. So
an ounce.
16 cups in a gallon.
So 16 cups of, oh God.
16,
and also, there's like varying factors in here too. Like,
what if I'm thirsty and I like hot dogs?
It's all salt water with hot dogs.
Oh my God. You're going to feel like crap for like 7 days.
I'll have a heart attack probably.
And then on the other hand, you're going to have drank someone's foot sweat, which is
one ounce on the shot glass. So that's what you said, Brinson.
No, 2 ounces. Got to be 2 ounces.
Okay,
also, you have to know you have to know whose foot sweat is it. And where is the hot dog water coming from? Is it like 7-Eleven hot dog water?
It's an NFL offensive lineman's foot sweat.
And 7-Eleven hot dog water
that they squeeze out of a sock.
Yeah, it's Vince Wilfork's workout sock. And it's 7-Eleven hot dog water.
Disgusting.
And it's all at 78 degrees. Both are 78 degrees.
Ask the one you asked before the podcast.
No, don't. Let's get out of here.
No, we're not talking about. I'm not getting fired.
But tomorrow we're doing a podcast, and I got more questions, so we'll do that next time.
Yeah, I kind of want to change my answer now. I think I'm
going to. No, you can't change.
I'm doing foot sweat. I'm out. I'm not.
I need to know the foot sweater, and like I need to see their.
I told you, it's Vince Wilfork after a workout in Texas in July.
I bet Vince Wilfork has very nice feet.
But the point is, he's an defensive lineman. That's what Breach said was looking for.
I mean, it's better than like a,
here's the thing. If you're like running on a track, it's literally just human. It's just salt, sweat. It's not like he drags sweat through dog dew or something.
The way if I got a look-see at the feed in question, and I could confirm that there was no, you know, immediate fungus virus on said feet.
No, you don't get to confirm that. No, it's not. You don't. There could be athlete sweat.
The shot of foot sweat, you're probably going to vomit for like 30 minutes.
Nah, but you're just drinking hot salt water.
That's with like some drinking with hot dogs too.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a gallon
of it, and you're going
to 2 ounces instead of.
You're going to feel like ass for 7 days, minimum.
Yeah,
a gallon of hot dog. Oh my god! I mean, you know that hot dogs are made of like pigs' beeholes.
Oh, they're all ground
feet
up.
They're made of pigs' feet and beef. Like, it's the ground up, disgusting.
You're drinking beehole juice.
Yeah, it's actually
real quick.
They in Eastern North Carolina, what they do is they ground up pigs' feet, they squeeze foot sweat on top of them, and then they make hot dogs out of them. They encase them in a hot dogs are disgusting.
All right, last word.
We are ranking the bad losses from Wild Card Weekend. This was the first time since 1982. That three or more teams
right now
lost by 20 or more points.
All right.
That's from ESPN Stats and Info.
This is your fault, by the way, Wilson.
Wilson. Mike, or if I wouldn't have asked that crazy question before, Wilson would have gotten out of his book, and then we wouldn't be here. And our listeners wouldn't be just drinking foot sweat right now just so they don't have to remember this podcast.
We'll leave on this. Ethan Miller notes, would you rather have a pint of hot dog water or a pint of Skyline chili? That's a dog.
And the answer is hot dog water. I
bathe in Skyline chili, so definitely the second one.
I believe that too.
I will say that I hadn't thought through I need some more information about the. It is a good point. Like somebody said, the hot dog water is boiled. It's getting boiled water, which kills a bunch of germs, versus an actual germ manufacturing factory.
Here's what will happen. I will chug the 2 ounces of Vince Wilfork foot sweat, and then Brinson.
Oh, what about this? You take a shot of foot sweat, Wilson, and you don't have to get the tattoo.
No, I'm fine getting the tattoo. You're paying for it. That's what we're waiting on next. And maybe it'll happen in L.A.
We're
on
me.
I like that. We'll all be together. That's the perfect time.
We have the drawing from Dum Dum Magoo there.
Has it been confirmed by the tattoo company?
Well, if we're going to be in L.A., then it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Okay. It'd be even better if the Bengals are there and Ryan Finley's doing Radio Row interviews.
Yeah, so now I need to know how much a good tattoo goes for.
Apparently, $100. Just write him a check. Write him a blank check.
$100 sounds about right.
Write him a blank check, and we'll go from there.
$100 is steep.
Cheap, like people say.
Hey, we're getting a real cheap tattoo.
No, I have final say in that.
Very cheap.
It's gonna be one polka dot.
Actually, I'm gonna have my 8-year old son do it. All right, we didn't make it inside an hour. That's fine.
All right.
It was Nathan Graver McCray's idea. I'm sorry, I was reading out of the chat.
I'm doing my goodbye wave, so you have to say bye.
All right. Happy Wild Card Weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.